This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Are you driving your car or doing laundry right now? Podcasts go best when they're bundled with another activity. Like Progressive home and auto policies, they're best when they're bundled too. Having these two policies together makes insurance easier and could help you save. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. Quote a home and car bundle today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On the Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to the Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
From One World Trade Center in Manhattan, this is the New Yorker Radio Hour, a co-production of WNYC Studios and the New Yorker.
Welcome to the New Yorker Radio Hour. I'm David Remnick. Laura Marling released her first album when she was 18 years old, but it didn't really feel like the work of someone who had just earned the right to vote. Marling is 30 now, and she's got 7 albums under her belt. The most recent just came out in April, and it's called Song for Our Daughter.
Though they may want you to tread in their trail, only to see if the path they set fails. Though they may want you to take off your clothes.
Marling's particular brand of dense but delicate folk music has earned her the acclaim of so many critics, and she's got a lot of passionate fans like John Seabrook. She and Seabrook spoke at the New Yorker Festival in 2017.
In my work, I meet quite a few artists that are very good singers. Some of those artists are also good players, and a few of those artists are also good songwriters, but I never meet someone who is as good as you are at each of those categories, any one of which would probably make you a very successful artist. So you're a real artist. Welcome. You're fantastic.
Thank you. Thanks.
And Laura and I actually know each other. We met a couple years ago. We played Boggle together. But anyway, so Laura, that was in April of 2015. Talk about what you were doing in California those years. You had 3-4 great albums, and then you left Britain and went to California. Why?
I was touring by myself. So after my fourth record, which was Once I Was an Eagle,
right?
I had been touring with a band for 8 years, I guess, or 7 years. And I was tired of that.
Yeah.
So I decided to go and tour the States just on my own.
I read something you said interesting. You said that because you started so young, and when you start touring and when you go out, your sort of emotional development is sort of arrested by the nature of touring.
Yeah.
It's hard to develop as a person. And what can you talk a little about? What is it about touring that kind of arrests you in terms of development?
Well, you basically employ someone to be your parent, you know, full-time carer.
Right. That's your tour manager?
Yeah. It's a really thankless job. But, yeah, you know, you are given a schedule every day. You're told where to shower and at what time.
Right.
And it's very limiting, and it's... You know, it's very claustrophobic. It can be if your mindset begins to make it that way.
Right.
It becomes sort of terrifyingly claustrophobic.
And that was part of what drove you to California, that wanting to get out of that cycle.
Yeah. Well, I did the tour of the States, and it was, you know, magical, and I had a lot of adventures, and then I just landed in LA, not somewhere I had ever even sort of romanticized in my head.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I landed there, and I stayed there. And I found that really, from the claustrophobic mindset that I was in, LA was kind of perfect.
I mean, the other thing about California with you, and that we were talking a little about this earlier, Laura had a father who loved 60s singer-songwriters, in particular, Neil Young. And one of your very first songs that he taught you was The Needle and the Damage Done, which I think you later recorded with Jack White.
Yeah.
It's a really great version, by the way. But I think on the Joni Mitchell, he actually had you sit and listen as a very young person to Joni Mitchell,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I was asking you earlier, do you think he kind of wanted to make you into Joni Mitchell?
It's creepy to think that maybe he did.
Because maybe it worked.
Yeah.
But anyway, can you talk a little bit about having a father who was a record producer who influenced you musically?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was saying earlier, I think Joni Mitchell was the only female songwriter he could think to put in front of me.
Have you felt like Joni Mitchell has become a musical touchstone for you? I mean, your voice in that middle range, up and down, sounds somewhat like Joni Mitchell.
Wow, that's very kind.
I mean, and you're a brilliant songwriter like Joni Mitchell, and you're blonde.
And I'm a lady.
And you're a lady.
I think, yeah.
But, and then you went to California. I guess that's what I was thinking of. Like, wasn't that part of your California trip? Just to maybe reckon with some of these archetypes that you...
Yeah.
Kind of grew up with, or...
Yeah, someone was asking me the other day whether I lived in Laurel Canyon when I was there, and I was like, no, you can't afford to live in Laurel Canyon. Are you kidding me?
Right.
But so as soon as I got there, all of that mysticism was gone. Mm. Do you know what I mean? But there are still there is this mystical thing in LA that the old school guys and girls are there. You know, you feel that they're there in the hills looking down on the city. And you hear about, you know, because most of my friends are musicians and they, you know, talk about playing with Jackson Browne at the weekend or, you know.
They're like the old fathers up there. Down. David Crosby up
David
there.
Crosby, of course.
Like a Buddha.
Yeah.
That's John Seabrook talking with Laura Marling at the New Yorker Festival in 2017. We'll hear a live performance from Laura Marling in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Roz Chast from The New Yorker. The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by NetSuite. Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on delivering your product or service, the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified platform. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/New Yorker. netsuite.com/New Yorker.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
We just heard John Seabrook in conversation with singer-songwriter Laura Marling. Here's Laura Marling with Daisy, off her album Short Movie.
Daisy lives by the docks, down at the White Rocks, running an open home. Daisy lives by the sea. I only see Daisy when she wants to see me. Daisy's all right, she's up all night, down at the docks, running an open home. I think that you look at her wrong. I think that you look at her so wrong. Woman alone is not a woman undone. Daisy met a man from Sicily. Daisy's all right, she's up all night, down at the docks and in an open home. I think that you look at her wrong. I think that you look at her so wrong. Woman alone is not a woman got a baby now. She caught her Angelina, so she stand out of the crowd. Daisy doesn't care from where she sees. As far as we're concerned, she is immaculately conceived. Daisy's all right, she's up all night, down at the docks, running an open home. I think that you look at her. That you look at her so wrong. Woman alone is not a woman undone.
That's Laura Marling performing at the New Yorker Festival in 2017. Her new album is called Song for Our Daughter. This is the New Yorker Radio Hour, and before we go, one more song from Laura Marling. It's called Wild Once.
If you grow up listening to a lot of Joni Mitchell, then you end up having a lot of guitar tunings, which is what's happening there. Forget it. I was wild, chasing stones. The martyr who feels the fire, and the child who knows his name. They remember that there's something wild, and it's something you can't explain, and it's something they can't explain. They are wild and they can't forget it. They are wild, chasing stones. Thank you.
It's hard if you can't change it. It's worse if you don't try. You will sit down to explain it and be constantly asking why. You are constantly asking why. You are wild and you must remember. You are wild, chasing stones. Does no one understand you? Is that getting tired and familiar long? You must change what hangs you. Give me something to go on. Give me something to go on. You are wild and I won't forget it. You are wild, chasing stones.
That's the New Yorker Radio Hour for today. I'm David Remnick. I want to thank you for joining us, and I hope you'll join us next time.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is a co-production of WNYC Studios and The New Yorker. Our theme music was composed and performed by Merrill Garbus of Tune Yards, with additional music by Alexis Quadrado. This episode was produced with help from Rhonda Sherman and David Ohana. The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported in part by the Chirina Endowment Fund.